Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Ralph Breaks the Internet, If Beale Street Could Talk, and Stan and Ollie. All yours.
Thanks a lot, Jill. Yeah, well, in recent weeks I've been talking about, well, not that many weeks, but sometimes lately talking about films which don't exactly suit the holiday spirit. So this week I thought it would be nice to talk about three films that do each in their different way. At least two of them are fairly upbeat films, and the third one is not all that upbeat, but it's still a very interesting item, and they're all out there right now and getting a lot of people to come and see them. So the first one I'd like to talk about is Ralph Breaks the Internet, which is an animation. And way back in those bygone years of 2012, a half a dozen years ago, there was a very, very lovely, sweet animated movie called Wreck-It Ralph, directed by Rich Moore. A really, really nice movie. Ralph, the title character, and he's also the title character of the new film, Ralph Breaks the Internet, is a video game character. And this is, of course, you know, a feature-length cartoon. What he is in a video game where he breaks things. That's why he's called Wreck-It Ralph. And another guy named Felix fixes them. And it's a game where, you know, kids sit in the arcade and they push the buttons and they get Ralph to break things and they get Felix to fix the things. In the original film, Ralph has various adventures and he makes very, very good friends with a little girl from another video game called Sugar Rush, which is a very sweet sort of a kiddie game, all full of pink stuff and full of female and feminine stuff. So big, burly Wreck-It Ralph, who is a very lovely guy, even though his job is wrecking things, becomes friends with this very sweet little girl from this very sweet little video game, and they have various adventures. Ralph's ambition in life, if a video game character can be said to have a life, is to become a hero, and the little girl makes him a hero, and it's a very sweet movie. So now, 6 years later, we have finally a sequel called Ralph Breaks the Internet, and what happens in this movie is that something goes wrong in the video arcade, and the little girl's game, Sugar Rush, is going to be shut down because it just isn't bringing in many customers anymore, and it isn't really worth fixing it, and it would cost too much to get the part to fix it. And so all appears to be lost for the little girl, except that then they get the great idea, she and her friend Ralph, of going onto the internet, which is a brand new thing. This movie takes place a little bit in the past, and a Wi-Fi router has just been installed in the video arcade, and so they make their way through the router and through the wires into internet land. And there they have to find their way around, and there's some very amusing stuff with a search engine that they make use of, and they're traveling around through this great big animated movie version of the internet, searching for this part that they need in order to get the little girl's game going again. And the little girl is very sweet and childish and adorable. But they make the acquaintance of another character in Internet Land who runs a very tough and macho race video game. Her name is Shank. There's a very interesting and amusing kind of contrast between the very tough sort of macho racing video game character and the very sweet little girlish video game car racing character, and Ralph sort of caught between them in negotiating all this stuff. Anyway, I actually think that the earlier film from half a dozen years ago, Wreck-It Ralph, was a better movie. It's really one of my favorite animated features from recent years. I think it's just a lovely movie, very, as I keep saying, very sweet. The new movie was directed by the same director, Rich Moore, this time along with another director named Phil Johnston, and they've created another very interesting and lively and, you know, funny and surprising movie. I just don't think it quite reached the very high standard of Wreck-It Ralph. The stars, once again, of Ralph Breaks the Internet, once again, are John C. Reilly, who is a wonderful, wonderful actor of whom I am a very big admirer. And he is also in our third film for today, Stan and Ollie. Of course, we only have his voice in Ralph Breaks the Internet. But playing the little girl character, whose name I haven't mentioned, is Vanellope, is Sarah Silverman, who is also very, very good. It visits a very persuasive little girl character. So with John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman providing the main voices and a whole lot of very inventive animation, Ralph Breaks the Internet is a real treat, and grown-ups will enjoy it right along with kids. I wish it lived up to the excellence of Wreck-It Ralph, and people can easily check that one out. It's very much around on video on demand and disc and so forth. But Ralph Break the Internet is really a very, very fine movie, and if there's a movie you want to see with kids over the holidays, it's a really fine movie to see. Second movie I want to talk about today, If Beale Street Could Talk, is a real contrast to that, and it's the one of our three films today which isn't really very much in the holiday spirit, but it is in that it's a very good movie, a very absorbing movie and a very entertaining movie in a lot of ways, but it's also kind of a somber movie. If Beale Street Could Talk is based on a novel by that name, written by the very great African-American novelist and writer James Baldwin. The novel came out way back in 1974, so only now are we getting a movie based on it. The movie directed by Barry Jenkins, who is best known for his movie of 2 years ago called Moonlight. Barry Jenkins being one of a small but growing number of African-American filmmakers who are making a real impact on the movie scene. If Beale Street Could Talk, fascinatingly enough, has absolutely nothing to do with Beale Street. Beale Street is a street in New Orleans where I spent a good part of the past year during my partner's sabbatical. We went down there for quite a long while, and I spent a fair amount of time on Beale Street, walking along it and so forth, and it's a wonderful street and a legendary street for jazz and just sort of general Southern American atmosphere. But the novel, and which I've certainly read the novel, and the movie is a fairly close adaptation of it, the novel and the movie both take place in New York. And Beale Street, as a printed statement at the beginning of the movie tells us, is meant to be sort of a symbol for all that is African American, the tremendous rich heritage of African Americans coming from the South and then into the North. So it's the title is really more symbolic than anything else. And it tells the story of a young man who is about to be married. His young girlfriend is about to have a baby. They are a lovely couple of people. They are a lovely couple, but the young man is falsely and unjustly accused of rape. In fact, the woman appears to really believe that he raped her, even though it appears to be a totally important case of mistaken identity. There's no real villain here. The woman really believes that somebody who looked just like him raped her. Everybody believes that she was raped. Nobody denies the fact that she had this horrible trauma, but apparently it just wasn't our young man in this movie. And this wrecks his engagement. It wrecks his relationship with his young woman. It wrecks his relationship with his family. But the families of both him and the young woman who's about to have his baby, the families get enlisted in trying to solve this. They have to track down the woman who made the false accusation because she's vanished and she turns out to be in Puerto Rico. And that's what the movie is about. The movie is very much about gender relations. It is very much about what we now think of as being such incredibly dramatic and poignant and urgent parts of our own history right now in 2018 with regard to women reporting horrific things that have happened to them and men escaping the consequences, although in this case it appears that the woman may really be mistaken about the whole thing. It's very much about these things, and it probes these things with a fair amount of complexity and depth and certainly a good deal of psychological impact along the way. If Beale Street Could Talk is getting absolute rave reviews from about a jillion movie critics, partly I think on account of the wonderful cast and the wonderful performances, people like Regina King, Stephen James, Kiki Lane, Coleman Domingo, all these people are just terrific. I am afraid I don't think that Barry Jenkins has much oomph as a filmmaker. And even more than Moonlight, If Beale Street Could Talk made me feel that so much more could be made of this material. It's a very powerful novel in a lot of ways, and I just felt that the movie, its energy just kind of drains away. There are parts of it that have terrific emotional power, and I must emphasize that. There are parts of it that are poetic, powerful, really, really searing in certain ways. But there are whole long stretches of it where I just felt the whole thing just lay on the screen without doing much of anything. at least emotionally. So again, I'm in a minority on this. Most critics are loving this movie. I think it's one of the year's most overrated movies. That said, it's about very, very important things. And above all, it's another example of one of the movies that are starting to come along that represent major African-American filmmakers starting to make a bit more of an impact. For me, the finest of the several very strong African-American movies that have arrived out of the American film industry this year, far and away the best is Spike Lee's movie Black Klansman. And Spike Lee remains the only African-American filmmaker to have sustained a major career in the appallingly white-dominated American film industry. That said, if Beale Street could talk, I wish it were a lot better than it is. Final film for today, Stan and Ollie. This is a biopic, and as the title may suggest, it is about Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy, the very, very great silent comedians. They are almost the only movie comedians to have successfully made the transition from silent cinema, where they made an enormous number of very important classics, into sound cinema, where they made a few more classics and had careers that went on for quite a long while. But this movie is not so much about their movie career as about them as individuals. The filmmakers have very appropriately called it a love story. And in its way, it's a sort of a very bittersweet love story between these two men, Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. It starts out in the late 1930s when they were at the top of the Hollywood order. They were phenomenally popular. Everybody in the world wanted to see Laurel and Hardy movies. They were tremendous, top of their game. But after a little while of that, and we see them working with the legendary Hollywood producer Hal Roach, played very well by Danny Houston, and we see how their careers are at the top of everything, but they want a bit more. They want a bit more control over their movies and so forth and so on. We have a little bit of that. And then the movie jumps into the early 1950s when they are engaged on a tour. And the tour is during a downturn in their movie careers. And they're trying to get another film made, a movie about the comedy, about Robin Hood. But they're having trouble getting it off the ground, so to fill in time and bring in some money, they go on this tour, and it is not a glamorous tour. They are schlepping around England, they are staying in crummy hotels, they are playing in small theaters, audiences are not coming. Eventually, they have to agree to do a sort of public relations stunts to bring in more audiences, and then things pick up and they get a lot better, but still not quite good enough, and it becomes more and more certain as to whether their Robin Hood movie will ever be made. And what we have throughout all of this is the relationship between these two guys. These two guys who have been partners for so many years, and they work together so beautifully and so richly and so smoothly. But, you know, off screen, they're just friends and partners. You know, they're not married to each other. In fact, they both have wives who are quite interesting secondary characters in the movie. And we see how they're very different from each other. Stan Laurel is absolutely the brains behind the operation, the one who's usually keeping things going and the one who really works on their scripts and comes up with ideas, whereas Oliver Hardy is more lackadaisical and just wants to sort of hang around and bet on the horses and go out to dinner and stuff like that. They're very different personalities, complementary in some ways and yet contradictory in other ways. And the movie gives us a very nuanced portrait of their relationship. The main thing about Stan and Ollie that makes it into a terrific movie are the terrific performances by the two leads. We have John C. Reilly, again, wonderful actor. His voice is also very much in Ralph Breaks the Internet. John C. Reilly, who plays Oliver Hardy, and Steve Coogan, who plays Stan Laurel. Here we have one of these fascinating cases where the job facing the actor is to do two things at once, to impersonate these hugely famous and familiar people, and at the same time bring some real psychological interpretation to the roles. And John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan both bring this off brilliantly. These are superb performances. Each one of them, especially John C. Reilly as Oliver Hardy, is sort of buried in makeup, but it doesn't take over. You're never too aware of that. Basically, at any given moment, I could see the actors and I could also see the characters. A remarkable achievement on the part of everybody from the makeup people and the special effects people to the actors. Wonderful people in secondary roles. Rufus Jones as the manager manager of the tour. I've already mentioned Danny Houston as a Hollywood producer, Shirley Henderson and Nina Arianda as the two wives. All wonderful, wonderful performances. Stan and Ollie is not an out-and-out comedy, and in fact, some of the comic moments in it are among the sort of flatter moments that don't quite work. But it's a wonderful, as I said before, bittersweet movie. It is very sweet, a little bit bitter, a terrific movie to see over the holidays, and if you are a fan of Laurel and Hardy, it is a movie absolutely not to be missed. So that is my somewhat holiday-spirited story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you. As ever, David Starrett, Films in Focus, the films Ralph Breaks the Internet, If Beale Street Could Talk, and Stan and Ollie.